Can you hear me? I think you can. We're going to turn to God's Word. So if you have a Bible with you or one on your tablet, do you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Just a short reading for today, although I'm going to be referring to a number of different Bible passages during my sermon, so you might want to flick to those as and when. Thank you to Esther for a glass of water. Very refreshing. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 18, where Paul writes, "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Lord God, we thank you so much for the journey that we've been on together during this series on the Father's heart. And our desire, Lord, has been to know you more and know you more deeply, but also to replicate your heart in our own. And so, Lord, as we conclude this series, we just pray that you would reveal yourself to us again in this place. And that as we study your word, as I speak, Lord God, we would be motivated to share your heart, not only with one another, but with those who are outside of this church here, that we would truly have the likeness of Jesus Christ. Come now and speak to us, Lord. Speak through me for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've alluded to the fact that we reached the conclusion of our series on the Father's heart today, and what a positive way to end our series by exploring the Father's heart for newness of life. And we know this to be true for two key reasons that I want to explore today. And the first is because Christ's death and resurrection was for newness of life. Paul confirms this in our Bible reading today from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, "If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, and the old has gone. The new is here," and God's people say, "Hallelujah." What does he mean? Well, Christ came to earth to reconcile us, Jew and Gentile, male and free, male and female, slave and free, came to reconcile us to God, the Father, and to save us from the consequences of our sin. He explains this more plainly in Ephesians chapter 2, one of my favorite passages of scripture, where he says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, gratifying the cravings of your flesh and following its desires and thoughts, deserving of wrath." It's a pretty painful position to be in, isn't it? Dead in our transgressions and sins, deserving of wrath. And then Paul writes this brilliant word, "But," he says, "but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ." Alive, not dead, alive with Christ, when we were dead in transgressions. "And it is by grace we have been saved." And again, God's people said, "Hallelujah." This is incredible news because our position before God has changed. Our identity has changed. We are no longer dead people. People deserving of wrath, but thanks to the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are made alive. Who's feeling alive today? Well, that's quite a good response, actually. You surprised me. We are alive thanks to the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to say this incredible statement in verse 7. He says, "Not only are we alive in Christ, but God raised us up with Christ and seats us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." Wow. Wow. Christ raises us up so to be seated with him in the heavenly realms. Just this week, I traveled to London for a meeting. And when walking from St. Pancras International train station to the venue of a meeting, I was stopped by a police officer. He asked me to just hold my position on the pavement. And as he said that, a police motorbike rushed up the road. A car stopped just in front of me. And this individual stepped out just in front of me. Prince William. It was kind of a bizarre moment because there was barely anybody there, as you can see from my pictures. There's barely anybody around. But Prince William stopped to attend a meeting near where I was at St. Pancras and then just walked out in front of me. And I have to say, I was a little bit giddy. Not because I find him attractive, but I was a little bit giddy. I was a bit giddy because I was in the presence of royalty. And it wasn't an appointment I had with royalty, he just appeared. And I did find myself a little bit giddy, which was soon removed by the time I got to my meeting. But to be in the presence of royalty was quite an incredible moment. But what Paul describes in Ephesians 2 is far beyond what we might experience in the presence of earthly royalty. Paul talks about us being in the presence of God Almighty, being in the presence of the one who put the stars into space, who is King and Savior and Lord of all for all eternity. And you know, we not only get to be in his presence, as I was in the presence of William, but we get to be seated with him. He puts his arm around our shoulder and he offers us a place in his presence. You'll be surprised to hear William wasn't interested in having a meal with me particularly. Not that I asked. Maybe if I asked, he would have done. But we could be in the company, the near company of God. He offers us new life. And I'm going to speak more about this life that is to come, this time when we will be in the fullness of God's presence. But what I want to communicate here and now is that this newness of life is available now. Paul makes this point in 2 Corinthians with the words, "The old has gone," and what does he say? "The new is here." It's come. New life is available now, not just in the future. And Paul makes the point again with reference to baptism in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. He says, "We were therefore buried with him," "through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Now, this new life isn't just available in the future, it's available now. And when we are baptized, we not only to die to an old way of life, but we rise again out of the water to a new way of life. It would be odd in baptism, wouldn't it, if we just continue to hold the person in the water until eventually the everlasting new life came. It'd be a bit of a morbid occasion. But we lift the person out of the water immediately to symbolize the fact that new life isn't only available for eternity, but new life is available, what does Paul say? Here and now. We can know what it means to be a new creation. We can know what it means to be alive in Christ Jesus. Paul also compels us to live in a certain way that displays this new way of life. In Romans 6, he carries on in verses 12 to 13. "Do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies." In other words, don't carry on living the old way of life, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. We are to live a new life here and now, not just in the future. But this newness of life offered in Jesus Christ is also in the life to come, in the future that awaits us. Paul writes in Romans 6, verse 5, "If we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. And it's true to say that if we die like Christ, and I'm not saying if we die by crucifixion, if we die like Christ, if we die living for God's glory, if we die having turned our backs on sin and living so to follow Jesus and to live for God's glory, then we will know resurrection like Jesus Christ himself has known. Paul affirms this in 1 Corinthians 15. He writes, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." And he continues writing about the resurrection body, which I think is particularly exciting. Verses 42 to 44, he says, "The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body." Wow. Go on, Graham, you lead the way. Absolutely. So as a child, I always thought I was Superman. I'm not joking, I did. And there were little tricks I used to do to try and convince myself that I was Superman. So I'd go up to the supermarket doors and put my hand out like this, and the doors would open. Do I need any more proof? And there were moments when I used to question myself, I haven't had many injuries. Perhaps I'm imperishable. Perhaps I have super strength. Alas, I am a mortal being. And my body is perishable. But one day, I will have a new body. This is what Paul says in Corinthians. He says, one day, we will be imperishable. We will have this resurrection body, which will supersede the body that we have now. For some of you, that's probably a relief. Let's not dwell on it. But this is an incredible truth that is being revealed to us. That ultimately, through Christ, God has prepared a new life for us, which does not compare with the life that we know now. We are waiting for this moment when God will make all things new. And not just us, but all creation is waiting for this moment when it is renewed, when it is liberated from the bondage that it suffers now. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning and continues to groan as in the pains of childbirth. But not only so, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies." Fantastic piece of scripture, so rich that for me helps me to understand suffering, pain, helps me to understand the natural disasters that we see in our world. Helps me to understand why we might feel this pain and suffering and see these disasters in our world. It is subjected to frustration. But one day it will be liberated. One day it will be free of this pain as God renews the earth and adopts us fully as his children. And Revelation 21 speaks about the fulfillment of this liberation, when out of heaven, God's dwelling place will come among the people. He will wipe away every tear. There will be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything," what?
New.
I am making everything new. And these words are trustworthy and true. Trustworthy and true. There is a new life available to us in Jesus Christ now. But there is also a new life that is waiting for us in the future. And let me tell you, with three young children, there are often moments when I consider the places across the world that I would like to be. Australia, New Zealand, a desert island somewhere with crystal blue sea. Although there'll probably be a whole load of creatures there that will put me off quickly. There are places that I would like to retreat and escape to. Because in my mind, there'd be places of rest and beauty. But the truth is, these places cannot compare with what God has prepared in advance for us. This cannot compare with the beauty of the fullness of God's kingdom. And we not only get the opportunity to stay there for a short holiday, we get the opportunity in Christ to be there for all eternity. And I can't wait. I can't wait. With faithfulness, I will continue to serve God here and now. And I enjoy my life. But I look forward to that place where there'll be no more mourning, crying, or pain. Where we'll see an end to conflict and division and evil and dictatorship. We'll see an end to sickness and death. I can't wait to be in the fullness of God's presence in his kingdom. And that kingdom is available to all of us if we'll only believe and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We started this series with an exploration of Luke 15 and the parable of a lost son who met with compassion, forgiveness, and love. Was met by the running father. If you want to know this newness of life, both now and in the future, then I urge you to come to Jesus. Don't wait any longer. Come to Jesus today. Come and allow him to embrace you, to hold you, and to give you this new life which is promised in Jesus Christ. And let me emphasize the role and our need for the Holy Spirit in this too. Because Scripture tells us that it is the Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. And he will breathe life into our mortal bodies if only we will be open to him. If only we will allow the Holy Spirit to come and enter into our lives. Ezekiel 37 verse 5 says, "This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life." So come to Jesus. Be open to the Holy Spirit and invite him to breathe new life into your life. My prayer is that we will know this life for ourselves, that we will know the Father's heart, and that we will replicate it in our lives individually, but also replicate it in the life of this church for his glory forever and ever. Amen.
And so, Lord, together in this place, we recognize that we are nothing without you. And that it is with faith in you that we can know new life. That we can be made alive, both today and for all eternity. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for coming down to earth from the glory of heaven, dying on a cross, rising again from the grave, so that we have the possibility of this new life. I pray, Lord, that we would turn to you, that we would give you the worship and the praise that you deserve, and that we would know this new life for ourselves as we live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to worship God and give him thanks for this life that we can know in Christ Jesus. We'll ever sing some songs of worship as we close this morning. When you're ready, feel free to stand.
Step down into darkness. Oh.